Check. Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and hello, friends. It is a Thursday. It's all downhill from here. We're good to go. Oh, yeah, by the way, heading into a three-day weekend. It's President's Day Monday. Gotta love that. I'm Crink Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass, and we are good to go, locked and loaded for another 4 hours of fun, facts, and other stuff, as we like to say. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. We're going to put a couple good questions up on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll here in a minute. You can follow me at Craig ESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PShep326. A lot going on with Astros apology gate, some NFL news, trade rumors, whole bunch of stuff that's going to be really good. We'll get into all that. First of all, Pete Shepherd, I have something I have to say.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is a radio show.
Sure. First of all, I'm sorry. For the last almost 3 years,
what?
Before the show, I would always take a peek at all your notes so that I would not have to do show prep, and I stole all your material. And I'm not going to give back my Marconi Award or anything like that, but sorry. I hope all of the radio world forgives me.
Is this supposed to be a parody of what happened at the press conference today?
Yes. You catch on quick.
All right. We have to play this right away. This is a 52 second little blurb because I think it's going to, I know you're going to play some more in Sound Street, and I get it. But I think everybody, the listeners, need to hear this part first. This little blurb with, unless you want to wait till after the rundown, which with Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros. It is the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, why don't you let it rip? It's going to rule the day.
Ahead. It is going to rule the day. So just this is a little montage of what happened in 52 seconds. This is Jim Crane, owner of the Houston Astros.
You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you.
That's a wrap.
What?
Get him out of here.
An absolute joke.
That's Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros.
Is it possible to impact the game and then not possible?
Is it possible he said two different things in two different sentences almost back to back?
In 5 seconds.
How is that possible?
5 seconds. It's bad. You'll hear it. The stuff in the locker room afterwards was a little more genuine. But the stuff that happened today out there, it was what we thought. Remember the way I answered your questions yesterday? It was worse than that.
Well, there was two versions of it today. The first version was there was a podium and an official apology. Jose Altuve and was it Bregman?
Yes.
They go out there and you could tell they were like two children in grade school that were forced to go out and apologize in front of their parents or something. But then
Bregman, 1 minute statement, no questions. Altuve, 30 second statement, no questions. Dusty Baker, first day on the job, sits there the entire time.
Now then the cameras were allowed in the clubhouse. I thought the answers were a little better genuine. The stuff they did at the podium was just
embarrassing.
It was awful.
Wasted, like I said, Bregman, a minute statement, no questions. Altuve, 30-second statement, no questions. And they're getting ripped for it because it was the stuff afterwards was a little more genuine by some of the players.
And then the most awkward one was Justin Verlander, who here's what he said without saying it. Guys, I was only here a month when that happened, and I saw some stuff going around, but I didn't really, at the time, didn't feel like jumping in. Maybe I should have. I wish I did. Sorry.
The most genuine, sincere person that I've heard all day is Dusty Baker.
But he wasn't even there.
I know.
And they're all asking for forgiveness from baseball. Meanwhile,
please,
Aroldis Chapman and CeCe Sabathia are about to have a gasket. They're livid.
I'm changing my opinion with you and Chris. I'm siding with you. Bregman's going to get nailed first.
Thank you.
And I hope it's just in the numbers and it doesn't get out of control and somebody beans him in the head or anything. They don't want anybody to get
seriously
hurt. So in the
but you never know.
I thought Springer was good. George Springer.
What did he say?
Yeah.
He seemed the most sincere.
So we let baseball down or something? And
He seemed the most sincere.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are about those three, four, five guys. They're the only ones we've
Correa,
seen.
Correa, I thought, said something.
Correa had the best statement.
Correa said stuff about, you know, we affected careers. And he sounded generally remorseful about it. Like, we affected careers by what we did.
But every one of them, I'm sorry, I look at it with the background of knowing what happened, and I'm like, no, you guys seem like you're sorry you got caught. Nobody's saying, hey, we didn't deserve that championship. Nobody's saying, let's give the trophy back. Let's give the rings back. Let's give the money back. Nobody's saying that. And I'm asking myself, as well as you guys and our listeners, what Jim Crane obviously huddled the team together yesterday and basically told them, guess what? You're going up there and apologizing for this. I fired my GM and I fired my manager for this. What more did I want today? Did I want them to say, yeah, our championship is tainted? Because this doesn't seem to be enough for people. They said the right words. Whether you want to believe them or not is up to you, the individual.
What did Jimmy Hoffa say once? They said that they know the tune, they just don't know the music, or vice versa, something like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like they know what to say, they don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Well, they know how to be sincere.
Well, like you said, it was a little more believable the second round in the clubhouse as opposed to the, I'm not going to say prepared statement, because they weren't reading a statement, but they went up there and it was you could tell they were told what to say at the podium at first. I don't know. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about whether you accept AB's apologies. Pete, what more did you need to see today? Or no. Did it just come down to believability?
Yeah, it came down to, it's exactly what I thought would happen. That a couple of players would speak and not take questions from the podium. And then Jim Crane just summed it up right there. I thought Correa was good. And, you know, more probable than not, probably more players feel like he does. We affected careers. It was stupid. I mean, what else are they supposed to say?
CeCe Sabathia is one of the most hot players. He was at the end of his career. He didn't get to go to a World Series. He had one more year after that. Guys like that are going, man, this was – because that game came down to a run, right? It was the Altuve walk-off home run.
Yeah.
Where, don't tear off my jersey because I got a wire, even though we didn't prove that. Right.
Yeah. I got another snippet from Jim Crane back in January. This is from January 21st, which is from Allison Forter from MLB.com.
I know her, actually. All right, hang on to that.
You do?
Let's get this going here.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about this quite a bit here this hour. 239-337-ESPN. But right now, it is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
Get you caught up on everything else. Trailblazers All-Star guard Damian Lillard left last night's game against the Memphis Grizzlies with a groin injury. He is out of the All-Star game and three-point contest, replaced by Suns guard Devin Booker. Former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick will release a memoir sometime this year through a company he has founded called Kaepernick Publishing. There will also be an audiobook. And Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia will not arrive to Fort Myers when position players report on Monday. It's another setback with his knee.
All right. So you have something from Allison Fuller, who covers the Astros in the Houston market.
June Lee, who writes for ESPN, put this out first. You know, the Astros had 23 days to come up with an apology plan, and the best Jim Crane could do today was saying that sign stealing didn't impact the game. Today made everything significantly worse for Houston and added even more fuel to the fire. Then Allison Footer, she's a Houston person, but she's MLB Network. You know her, current Houstonian. Had this from January 21st. Astros owner Jim Crane said, when the team assembles for spring training, the players will come up with a plan to address the sign stealing saga publicly and will apologize for their role in the events that led to MLB sanctions. Here's Crane.
We really want to expand our search. You know, we've got a whiteboard working on it. We're going through everybody we think would be someone that would be a good match for the team next year. We got a good team. I made a joke earlier about filling out the lineup card, but it was a pretty good lineup. So, but we need someone strong that can handle the players. And then, you know, the players have been beaten up a little bit. And I think, you know, they've been all spread out. I saw some of the things yesterday on with the guys interviewed. They're just kind of getting some advice to take it easy. When we get down to spring training, we'll all get them together, and they'll come out with a strong statement as a team. And I think, you know, I'll apologize for what happened, and we'll move forward.
Two timetables. Still looking like it'll be, you mentioned February 3rd,
I'll be close. It might be a few days after that, but we should be able to wrap it up by the weekend and then get after it and make a selection.
Jim, you talked, I didn't get over your, how did it go with Dusty Baker?
Dusty's a great personality. I loved him. We had a nice conversation. We have a lot of things in common, and you know, he's right at the top of the list.
Have you?
Right, so obviously that was, so that's, again, that was January 21st, but it's just, you know. Whatever plan they came up with, as somebody tweeted out today, should go back and, you know, get your money back for graduate school. That's how bad it was.
But here's the problem. There was no PR person. It was Jim Crane.
Yes.
This is Jim Crane's plan.
Yes.
Jim Crane huddled the team yesterday. Mm-hmm. Closed doors. They barricaded the media from coming in yesterday. You couldn't get close to the players yesterday. He told them, here's how this is going to roll on Thursday. The PR plan is solely Jim Crane's at this point.
There's not a PR person. Are we forgetting about the statement put out by the Astros in the ALCS about the female reporters and they're making up the story about the assistant chief?
Yeah.
There's nobody left in that department.
Right. Yeah.
They're all gone.
You're right.
There's nobody left.
But whoever is the current public relations director for the Astros had to be sitting there in the background today cringing. You know that look when, even though that person, man or woman, whoever it is, you know that feeling you get when you have to pee but you can't get up? That's how that person must have been feeling today, whether they had to pee or not. God, stop. You know, you want to go up there,
actually.
Get the cane and get them off stage. That's what I do. You know, it's, again, kaleidoscope, erotic images, me. But nice. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Now
Let
me throw this out there. Now, I want you to take a moment. I want you to clear your palate, clear your mind. Because what I'm going to say.
I need a limoncello
shot. What I'm going to say is pretty.
A fan of limoncello.
It might sound out. Oh. Yeah, I can't do a lot of it.
You don't do it. You're not supposed to do a lot of it. I don't like any of it.
That much.
It tastes like counter cleaner.
No.
Yeah. No, it tastes like Pledge.
Yeah.
Pledge dust spray. Like
yeah.
Pledge.
The lemon.
Totally
scented.
Agree. Yeah, lemon great. Scented, of
Even
course.
Even the creamy one you don't like?
I can't say I've never had the creamy one. Okay. I can't say that.
I can understand a little bit of the irregular, but I think you would definitely enjoy the creamy one. It tastes like a popsicle.
Well, I love popsicles. I love lemon popsicles, so I'm sure I would love it.
It would. It's a little different.
All right.
But
continue, sorry.
Anyway.
That's fine. I enjoy the tangent. All right, clear your mind, clear your palate, because I want to throw something out there that may sound radical at first. But I think as it seeps in, it's something to consider.
Craig Sheeman, nothing is radical on this show.
That's true. It's not even the 5 o'clock hour. We forced Donald Sterling to sell the Clippers because he uttered a racist sentence. And nobody liked him. Should we force?
Well, there was a history of racism as well.
Okay.
It wasn't just uttered a sentence.
Okay. But that's what it boiled down to.
There's a lot of smoke coming from that house, though.
But we got the fire on tape.
Yeah.
Okay?
She recorded it.
So should we force Jim Crane to sell the Astros for cheating baseball out of a World Series? The pinnacle. The World Series. Nobody with a rational mind can think that this did not affect their season. It did. Should he be forced to sell the team? Any thoughts? All right,
no,
let that seep in.
I don't think Rob Manfred has the guts to force that at all. I just don't.
Manfred's the next one I'm going to go after. Okay, he's the other one I would worry about his job security right now because he's botched this whole thing. The fact that you can't touch any of the players on this is ridiculous.
Back to the ownership thing. Like, a big problem I had when Donald Sterling was forced to sell the Clippers is he made like $4 billion on that deal.
I think it was $2 billion. Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't like, it was a trust me, it was a blessing in disguise for him.
Right. Like, that's not a slap on the wrist. Yeah. Here's $2 billion. Go away.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we going to force this owner? When did the owner purchase the team? Has he been?
He's not been a long-term owner.
Okay. So maybe he wouldn't turn that much of a profit.
Yeah, I think he already paid in the bill. Yeah, I think he bought the team when I was living in Houston. So within the past,
okay, so maybe it's not
five,
the crazy, you know, like the return on investment the Jerry Jones family is going to get whenever they sell.
I mean,
the
Cowboys.
It's still
not going to be shabby. I'll
no, it's not going to be bad, but like they're not going to get billions and billions. That's all. All right. It was just a problem I have with
so
Donald Sterling.
So y'all immediate reaction is that's too radical, Craig. Okay, that's fine. I'm just throwing it out there for discussion. It's what we do.
I'm trying to think. We bought the Astros, which I'm just looking.
Here's the other thing. Okay, so the other thing that almost all the players said, and Dusty Baker kind of capped off, was saying, look, we ask for forgiveness from baseball. Now, keep in mind, I try to live my life as a person who forgives.
2011.
But not forget. Is this a forgivable offense? You're talking about very competitive people in other teams. Livelihoods at stake. I don't think baseball is going to be too quick to just because to forgive right now, and we just kind of found out about this a few months ago. To forgive this right now is just to say, oh, you asked me to forgive. You said you're so okay. It didn't happen. I'll just let it go, and we'll go about our business. I don't think baseball is ready to do that right now. Now, does that mean the Astros have to go through the rotation and get plunked the first pitch of every series? What does this mean? How does this look? How does this shape baseball for the short-term future?
I'm telling you, it's not going to accomplish a lot doing that. It's going to happen. I have no doubt it will happen, but I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of memos, and if it continues after the first couple of days, I think you're going to see they're going to have to put a stop to it right away. They're going to have to. Whether they can or not is a different story, but you mark my words that people are going to get suspended in the first couple of weeks if they keep throwing at them. It's the last thing that baseball needs. Now, personally, look, any publicity is good publicity on the whole. Stuff like this, who isn't going to be glued to every Astros game? You get the baseball package free for the first 2 weeks, I think, on every cable system.
And it doesn't matter.
Who's not going to be watching?
And it doesn't matter how the season plays out either. It's going to be interesting to watch throughout. If the Astros start off 20-20, all the haters are going to be coming out. See, look what happens when you don't know what pitches come in. Baseball's tough when you don't know what pitches come. All those guys are going to come out. If they start 30-10, you're going to have the other side saying, look, see, I mean, yes, they cheated, but these are still really good baseball players.
I think the Astros have to win it all in order to make this go by to say, look, we really were good enough a couple years ago.
Yep.
That's the only thing that can erase everybody going, well, they cheated, they had help, they knew what the pitches were, that's how they won. They have to come back and win it all this year in order to shut everybody up.
Oh,
if not, 2017 is tainted forever.
I don't think they have to win it all. I think getting to the playoffs, to me, would be enough. Just getting to the playoffs, I don't think they have to win it all.
They should be good enough based on their roster right now. But I'm just saying, if they come out and they have a 500 season, Pete, that's just going to cement it for me that maybe they weren't that good after all.
But do you think they're going to have a 500 season? I don't. I think they're going to be a good team.
I think they will take a step back.
Because of the pitching, you lost Garrett Cole, and you've got some, but still, this is still a very good team, at least on paper. Now, internally.
Their 1-2 are Verlander and Greinke still. Yeah. They're still.
I'm not worried about the pitchers. Is Jose Altuve a power hitter? No, but it seems like he was dinging a 400-foot home run every time there was a big moment. All right, that's going to go away. George Springer, is he like the best player in baseball? He is in October.
He really is.
I mean, something's going on.
Well, he did bat. He batted .292 last year. With 39 home runs.
And that's no.
And 96 RBIs.
You just made my point for me.
Okay.
He knew what pitches were coming. Let's see if he's .292 and 440 home runs this year. In fact, we'll put a sticky pad up and we'll compare his numbers this year. He's you got to track these guys.
Well, he had four home runs last year in the postseason. He had four home runs and eight RBI.
I know. Look, they weren't just cheating in the postseason.
And batted 205.
But they played a lot of games in the postseason as well.
Yeah.
They went five against the Rays. Did they go six or seven against the Yankees?
He had 73 at-bats last year. His postseason career stats.
And the World Series went seven as well. They played a lot of games in the postseason.
Yeah. But he only had 479 at-bats last year and hit 39 home runs. That's pretty good ratio. You know, an average player has about 600
at-bats.
Again,
he knew what pitches were coming. Probably more than half those at-bats.
Nobody's arguing with you on that. We can't argue with you on that.
I want to see if he does it again this year. That's all. Let's go to the phones. 239-337 ESPN. Mike and Benita, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Awesome. You know what, Craig? I was going to dismiss your idea initially, but then I kind of started thinking about it, and there might be some merit there, because I always imagine these owners like sitting around a table as like the head of the five families, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, is this an egregious enough act to where the rest of the owners want to off him, figuratively speaking?
Right,
you know what I mean?
I told you, when I presented the idea, it's going to sound radical at first, but you let it seep in a little bit, like a sponge getting wet. I'm telling you, it's making sense.
I mean, if Lucky Luciano was screwing over Al Capone wouldn't take that crap.
That's right.
Just a thought. All right. I don't think it's an outlandish idea.
Does that mean... That means Craig is Carlo Gambino in this scenario.
I don't know who I am. Am I getting shot?
No, you're ahead of the fight. You're ahead of the commission.
Then I'm good.
That's good.
Close.
Good for you.
All right.
Wow.
Is the
it's
offense
like a promotion.
Was the rule broken? We live by a rule, so this whole thing cracks and crumbles. But was the error egregious enough to take action? Or do you give him a pass?
You'd be the perfect front man for an illegal activity.
A front man?
You'd be perfect. Nobody would suspect a thing is going on.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Well, the problem
not
a with thing. Me...
The problem
be
the ultimate
me,
mule.
The problem
ultimate.
With, no, listen, the problem with me, I would get nervous. I'd be the guy sweating on a cold day, like, oh, what's he hiding? I don't have a good
Did you see the mule with Clint Eastwood? He was a guy, kind of, you know...
No, I didn't.
Very mild-mannered.
I know what you're talking about.
No, it was a really good movie. You would never thought a guy like him would get into
it. Yeah, I might get away with it for a while, but at some point I'd crack under the pressure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You're probably right about that. It was a bad point by me.
No, it was a good shot. I liked it. All right, so we need...
No, but Craig would be the type of guy that would be recruited like by the CIA or like perfect, low-key, mind your own business, train him to do whatever we need him to do, learn a few languages... And
are you good with foreign language?
I was going to say, how
be
do you
the
know?
Ultimate, yeah, but it's
how do you know I'm not that guy right now?
And it's trained. I don't.
I
you're
just,
right.
I just play a radio host.
And then
I mean, a lot
like,
of people have asked, how did that guy get that job?
Maybe
you never know.
Not necessarily a James Bond type where you're jumping on trains and all that stuff, but maybe, you know, License to Kill, Craig Sheeman, Double O Sheeman. Where I could see him being a sniper with some terrorists on top of a building and some
No, I
country.
Couldn't see sniper.
Oh, I could.
I couldn't see sniper.
No, I'm way far away where he's...
I see Translator.
That...
He's the translator.
That.
But, like, Craig couldn't go undercover in too many spots around the world. Craig in the Middle East sticks out like a sore thumb. He's 6'3" and white. Like, he's got to really limit his
his
missions to Northern and Eastern Europe.
I didn't say necessarily go to the Middle East. There's other places.
I'm Euro, baby. I'm all Euro.
There's cells all parts of the world. He could find one and bust it up. I'm convinced of it. Absolutely.
This is fun.
This is good. Double O Sheeman.
Double O Sheeman. Where would be the best country that we... Germany?
Czech Republic.
No.
Oh, he's got Eastern European written all over him.
Hold on. I'm Polish, Irish, and Hungarian by nature. Okay. So,
still a country?
Yes.
Okay. Another place where Gene Simmons was born.
Mad Hungarian. He used to play for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
Who was a very nice guy when I interviewed him after his
career.
Yeah, I say Eastern European.
I got Eastern European spy.
You've got that
covered.
Yeah. So somehow we've turned the possibility of Craig's idea of the Astros being sold to Craig now as an undercover agent.
International
spy.
I like it. It's very exciting. That's some excitement in my life.
Sniper. sniper slash translator.
I guy says, yeah, Craig's the guy driving the RV, and we're the Millers.
I can't respond to that reference. I haven't seen it yet. But it sounds funny.
That's good. All right, so for the Twin Peaks Twitter poll, I think we got to
what foreign country would Craig best be served in as a sniper?
All right, we now have a fourth question. I was going to put Jim Crane be forced to sell the team.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We should have another question. Did you buy the Astros apology today, yes or no?
And Jameis Winston, LASIK eye surgery.
Yeah, are the interceptions going to go down? LASIK eye surgery, that's incredible. Is it LASIK or LASIK?
LASIK.
LASIK, L-A-S-I-K.
No S on the end. Okay, so LASIK eye surgery, does that improve his interception ratio?
T-Bone, Craig looks like the mild-mannered assassin that James Bond would be in contact with in Brussels. Yeah, I like that analogy.
But aren't I the guy that dies about three-quarters of the way through the movie?
No, you don't die. You don't die in any scenario.
Yeah, but you were integral to catching the
villain.
Because
you're close, but you're never in, like, quote-unquote, like the line of fire.
But I never get credit, do I? Because it all goes to James Bond at the end.
You get credit. M will give you credit. No M is. M is a commander at MI5.
And what was the Jameis Winston question? Sorry, I'm trying to keep all
this. Will the LASIK eye surgery help him cut down his interceptions? The Breeze texting in, we need 00 Sheeman t-shirts. Yes, we do.
That's a thing. I'm making that a thing. 00 Sheeman.
I guy also, ironic, it's I guy. I guy said Stu Gatz earlier today, and this was one of his best lines ever. Certainly somebody wrote it for him. Said that the LASIK eye surgery, Jameis Winston now has 30-30 vision.
I was laughing to myself in here.
That was hilarious. One of the best lines I've ever heard on radio. Chris in the car says, Sheeman and Shepard, spies like us.
I saw that. Was a funny movie. Very underrated.
We have a texture called Spies Like Us.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase.
Yep.
Also a great Family Guy parody about it in one of the episodes. Mm. Funny as hell. They go to dinner at the Griffin's house. Doesn't end well.
So I think we're going to have about four questions up there on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll. And continue with your phone calls at 239-3370-ESPN. Cow Tipper saying Craig Powers, like Austin Powers, right? International Man of Mystery. Yeah.
You like the shag, do you?
No, that's you, and you got Blue Chew for that, right?
BlueChew.com. Code Peter.
Promo code Peter.
What a bing.
All right. Well, save that commercial for later, because right now I'm going to tell you about Farmers Insurance. Get yourself some Farmers Insurance. There's only one Farmers in all of Southwest Florida, just one office. That's it. And that'll change eventually, but why wait? And we got our friend Damon Brist over there. Opened up a new shop. It's ready to go. Take your policy for your homeowners and your autos. Show it to him. He'll bundle them. He'll give you a price that's going to save you money. It's that simple. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Here's his number. Going to give it to you a few times so you have a chance to write this down. 239-202-2933. That's 239-202-2933. Or you could do the pop-in at his office at 9861 Burnwood Place Drive in Fort Myers. Farmers Insurance, Damon Brist, 239-202-2933. Have you switched yet?
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me. Who was talking
about you? Oops, that's for later. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Yes, we will have Sound Street in a few minutes, and it will be all of the Astros apologies today. We spent the opening of our show talking about they've admitted to it and apologized for the sign stealing, and they just want to move on and let everybody else forget them. Pete, I have a question for you, because Chris and I were asking during the break, how did we get from talking about Jim Crane and possibly selling the Astros and all that to 00 Sheeman and my
we got
spying?
00 Sheeman from actually Mike and Benita brought something up about you being I made you reference to Carlo Gambino.
Is that what that was?
And somehow that went, you know,
my short term memory's gone.
If you were like, you know, head of some organization and I don't know, just filtered down to you being a spy, not like 00 Sheeman, but not like jumping on trains and actually being in the line of fire all the time, but you would be the assassin slash translator. Mostly translator, part-time assassin in some terrorist cell in some Eastern European country. You've decided it'll be an Eastern European country. You wouldn't fit in Middle East.
So. No, I would not.
No.
Jello Shot suggesting they need a special forces unit name, Craig, C. Dot,
C-R-E-I-G. Like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, C for combat, R for ready, A for artillery, I for intelligence, and G for gunman.
I can think of Okay.
That's good. All right. Another. Yes?
No. I'm
oh, you're doing
down.
A better one?
No, I'm going to come up with a funnier one. All that's right. A great one. I'm not saying that's not great. That's
like
a great
it.
One, Jello Shot.
I like it.
Instead of Shield. Craig.
Okay. All right. Now, in addition to all this going on in baseball, we have announced that there will be some new rules this year. In fact, this came out yesterday, but it's getting buried. So that rule you heard that they were toying around with is a real deal in which pitchers, after pitching changes, was this include the starting pitcher, too?
Yeah, here's the.
You got to go at least three batters, three outs, or three guys getting on.
Three batter minimum. Hang on, I got it.
I thought, you know, my mind thought this was just for relief pitchers to speed things up in between innings, but does this also count for the starting pitcher?
Right from Major League Baseball yesterday, the official baseball rules have been amended to require the starting or starter or any relief pitcher to a minimum of three batters,
okay,
including the batter then at bat, parentheses, or any substitute batter, until such batters are put out or reach base, or until the offensive team is put out. Unless a substitute pitcher sustains injury or illness, which in the umpire crew chief's judgment incapacitates him from further play as a pitcher, the three-batter minimum will become effective in 2020 spring training beginning on Thursday, March 12th. Now, I will tell you this. The first potential problem, I don't mind the rule per se, but the first potential problem could be this, and it's the part where I said, unless the pitcher sustains injury, forget injury, or illness in the umpire crew chief's judgment. So you've given up back-to-back home runs, and the matchup for the third batter is not looking good.
I'm sticking my finger down my throat and throwing up all over the mound.
Oh, my arm is broken. I have a migraine headache. I'm seeing spots.
You got a lot wrong with you right
now.
How
many? I fainted. I fell down. I warmed up. Ow!
I know that could happen.
I mean, you don't think people are going to try to do that?
No. Listen, I'm not big on this rule, but here's why we need it. Joe Girardi is back in baseball.
Yeah, I know.
He alone,
right, left, right.
Alone is the reason we got to put this rule in. Drive me nuts.
So again, the other rules, another thing really big: active roster limits, rosters through August 31st and postseason.
Yeah, they get an extra player on the roster. Yeah, this is the concession for the player side. We get an extra job.
25 to 26, and a lot of those guys won't play. Oh, I'm sorry. For the postseason roster, the September rosters, all clubs must carry 28 players on the active roster. In addition, clubs will be permitted to carry a maximum of 14 pitchers during this period, which could mean, especially so many games that mean nothing, more pitching changes. So more times you need to. So that's another reason why I don't mind this three-batter minimum thing, because there's so much garbage time in baseball, particularly the last quarter of the season when so many teams are out of it and the rosters. And the managers are just going to look at players, up-and-coming pitchers especially.
They had to put in an extra asterisk to this rule because Shohei Ohtani, who I believe is going to start pitching in May after coming back from Tommy John surgery with the Angels, he will not count as a pitcher, but he will be designated as a two-way player.
That's the thing. There's the other part. Two-way player designation. Player who qualifies as two-way players may appear as pitchers during a game without counting toward a club's pitcher limitations. A player will qualify as a two-way player only if he accrues both at least 20 major league innings pitched and at least 20 major league games started as a position player or DH, with at least three plate appearances in each of those games, in either the current championship series or the prior championship season. For 2020, this will include 2019 as well as 2018. The club must designate that player as a two-way player. I think this rule's strictly
it's
for
him. It's just Ohtani. I mean, if he wasn't in the league, I don't even know if we'd be talking about
that. The other things are really position players pitching. Any player may appear as a pitcher following the ninth inning of an extra inning game or in any game in which the team is losing or winning by more than six runs when the player enters as a pitcher. So they don't want your backup shortstop throwing in the game unless it's absolutely necessary.
Right.
An extra player rule, the previous 26-player rule will be replaced with a 27th-player rule for all applicable championship season games prior to September 1st. A 27th player shall not count toward any pitcher roster limits described above. Thus, a club may designate 14 pitchers in games under circumstances when the Major League rules would permit a 27th active player. The last two injured list reinstatements and option period for pitchers. Clubs may not reinstate pitchers or two-way players from the injured list until 15 days have elapsed from the date of the initial placement of such injuries. That's an increase from 10 days. In addition, the option period for pitchers will be lengthened from 10 to 15. And lastly, short reduction in challenge time. Managers will now have only 20 seconds, not 30 seconds, to challenge a play.
Is that enough? They're going to watch the baseball monitors on the TV broadcast and see if they want to review a play or not?
Well, they got 20 seconds. It's cut by 10.
I know. Darren Rovell has retweeted out something he wants to get going now. He says Major League Baseball should have made the Astros punishment fun. Houston's pitchers should have to tip every single pitch of the 2020 season. If they lie, it's an automatic ball. He says he'd watch every game for that. All right. Do we have our questions up on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll?
I know. Yeah, they're all up.
Yep, I got them right up right here. So here we go.
Three of them are Astros related?
Three of them are Astros related.
Two of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a Craig related, and then there's a Jameis Winston
one. So here we go. Start with the baseball ones, with the sports ones, which is, should Jim Crane be forced to sell the Astros? Just want to refresh real quick. I already got a bunch of votes. Should Jim Crane be forced to sell the Astros again at 99.3 ESPN Radio? 55.3% so far say no, almost 50 votes. Did you buy the Astros apology today? Yes or no? Again, 55 votes. 90.9% no.
Went up.
Okay. Well, Jameis Winston getting LASIK surgery fixes interception problem. 72.2% say no.
Really?
I voted yes.
I'm going to vote yes.
And where would
you can't make it worse.
Right.
And where would Craig be able to go undercover the easiest? Eastern Europe, South Africa, Great Britain, other, leave your thoughts. Right now, Eastern Europe is way ahead at 54.5%.
That's hilarious. South Africa, sleeper. Dark horse sleeper.
Sneaky play. I forget the texter that texted that in, but really like, I think Craig would fit in well in South Africa.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good.
Nelson Mandela, Sheeman.
The 00 Sheeman. All right, very good. We've got Sound Street coming up next. More reaction from the Astros. Chris, we're going to be able to pull off this break. It sounded like the last two breaks melded together and then had a disaster. Are we good?
I think that's exactly what happened.
I was sitting here during the break going, man, it sounds a little extra long. And then I heard the Sound Street rejoin. Are we good now? Are we?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're going to cross our fingers and hope for the best?
Yep.
All right. So we got that coming up, Sound Street. And also, Pete, you're going to be out and about again. We just get you out all the time now on Saturday. Getting you ready for some golf, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're letting our Peter out.
With the blue juice.
Yes. Come join me noon to 2 at the new Edwin Watts Golf in Fort Myers, formerly Lumpy's Golf, for their grand opening sale. This is incredible. Tons of great deals. 50% trade-in bonus towards new TaylorMade Sim clubs, Callaway Maverick clubs, or the new Cobra Speed Zone line. Also, up to 40% off select apparel. Up to 20% off shoes, $3 off any box of balls in stock, and $2 off any glove in stock. There'll be complimentary food provided by Firehouse Subs. So join me Saturday, noon to 2, at the all-new Edwin Watts Golf in Fort Myers.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
You know, suddenly Brenda Lee's 1960 song, I'm Sorry, comes to mind.
Sorry. You know what song she's most known for, though?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree or something like that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back to the Astros camp. Here's Alex Bregman. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry.
So sorry.
About the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
All right, next.
One minute, no questions.
Jose Altuve. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Alex. I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night. And I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
George Springer, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
There's no real way to express how much regret we have, how much remorse we have, you know, on the heels of kind of what Alex and Jose talked about. You know, I'm sorry that we're in this situation today. I regret the fact that we are in this situation today. You know, I feel horrible for our sport, our game, you know, our fans, our city, our organization, you know, just fans in general. The way that our team is being viewed, it's unfortunate. It was unnecessary, and you know, we're gonna try to start with today and move forward onto 2020.
Here's Justin Verlander, who had just gotten there with about a month to go in the season. He wishes he was sorry.
Understood what was happening. I didn't. I wish I had said more. You know, looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. You know, like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
What did you say?
That's between myself and my teammates. That.
Well, let's kick it up to the top with Jim Crane on his role in the Spygate. Well, Spygate, what do we call it? We call it sign stealing gate scandal.
Well, clearly the report states that I didn't know about it. Had I known about it, I certainly would have done something about it.
I did hire
Jeff, and I think Jeff did a lot of great things for the organization over the years. I don't think I should be held accountable. I'm here to correct it, and I'm here to take this team forward with Dusty and James. And as I said, it won't happen again on my watch.
I think we played this earlier with the Marley Rivera, but it's worth hearing again in case you miss it. This is back and forth, Jim Crane and ESPN's Marley Rivera.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
Oh, good one.
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank
wrap
you,
it
Dusty.
Up!
Thank
the questions are getting too tough. We're out of here. Here's Aaron Bleeping Boone, the manager of the Yankees, says it's a stretch to say that cheating did not impact results.
I think that's quite a stretch, I think. You know, clearly on what level did it impact things? You know, I guess we'll never know, and that's for people to draw their own conclusions on. But I think clearly when we're talking about some of the things that went on, those things have an effect on games.
You know,
clearly.
A lot of people are hearing these sound bites for the first time. They've been at work. This all happened around noon Central to Eastern time.
Ten was when Altuve and Bregman went on.
My point is people were working. They're just now hearing it. And the reaction coming through on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line, people are not accepting this apology.
No way.
No. This is ridiculous.
I'm not sure they would accept any apology, really, overall. I mean, when you hear, especially when you hear from the owner, I mean, it's a joke. Crane's, it's terrible. Like I said, at least Correa at one point started talking about how it affected. It was a little more genuine in the locker room. But those initial snippets that we played, the 1 minute by Bregman was so insincere. I mean, it just was rehearsed and didn't mean anything. And then the other one was Altuve's 30-second statement, no questions. And
Bregman made a lot of money off of cheating.
Yeah.
Because I believe he got a contract already. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I do like load management's idea, though, texting in. The only way the Astros' apology could have been better is if they wore their World Series rings while giving the apology. You know what? Own it, right?
That would have been great.
Own it.
Yep, no doubt. All right, when we come back, more on this, but also I'm going to tell you, point blank, whether Matthew Stafford will be traded in part of this quarterback roulette.
Oh, no. Tua to Detroit?
No.
Well,
maybe.
I'll connect the dots for
maybe.
You. And everybody has a price, right, Pete Shepard?
Yes.
Maybe.
We'll tell you what Mel Tucker's price was.
Oh, I got that. I got his whole contract right here.
So, and a police blotter in college football. It's the third one in the last week. It's unbelievable. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.